Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the It's Obvious podcast. This is episode 159. My name is Garrett Drake, and I'm joined alongside my dearest of friends. Well, one of the dearest, Jacob Alka.
No, we can go with dearest.
You think so?
Yeah, just overall dearest of friends.
All right, we won't tell Preston, that mangy bastard.
Yeah, where the hell is he anyway?
He's celebrating his anniversary with his wife of 1 year, his old ball and chain.
Oh, he's married.
It's the big day. He's a married man. Mm. Correct. It's still weird when I think about that. Same with Zach.
Yeah.
When he's on the phone with me, he's like, I'm going to Taco Bell to get some food for my wife and I. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Throws me off a little bit. Strange, but... Yeah.
Are we doing something wrong, or are they moving too fast? That's the question.
That's the thing. I mean, if you know, you know.
Yeah. I guess everyone has their own pace.
How both of them knew their wives about a year or less before they married them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've been dating the same girl for 4.5 years now, and I still haven't even thought about popping the
question.
You guys
haven't even kissed yet, right?
No, we have not. Yeah. No, we haven't
even
held hands.
You guys are taking it super slow.
Yeah, we're really, really slow. We want to really get to know each other. We've been on hundreds of dates.
Yeah.
Celebrated multiple holidays together.
Just not ready to commit to that physical interaction.
No, absolutely not. I think it's you need a minimum 6 to 8 years before you can even touch fingers.
Yeah.
So we're getting there.
I admire you.
Yeah, slowly but surely. I am an inspiration to all. So if you guys really want relationship advice, just come to me and I'll help you out.
Yeah.
No touching, though.
That should be our new
show.
No
touching.
We'll be relationship advice with
it's obvious
Garrett
game.
G or Garrett D.
It could be a funny series if we gave poor advice thinking it's really good advice.
Yeah.
So kind of like a
really
Super Seducer.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you saw Jacob and I Super Seducer Let's Play for COD Connected, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, we did do that.
Yeah.
I came over and did that.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I never actually watched it.
I should have had you come over for the Razer keyboard unboxing I did, because it's getting a lot of views because it's one of the only unboxings on YouTube for that keyboard. And it's a shame because I think you and I would have had a lot more fun with it, because when I'm by myself, I'm kind of whatever about it. But next time we do an unboxing, we should do it together, because those are always fun.
We don't do enough unboxings on our own channel.
We don't, because Preston gets all these kick-ass collectibles and he just opens them up. Well, actually, I don't think he opens them. He just puts them on the shelf.
Yeah, he doesn't even open them.
Yeah. So he just keeps them to himself. I can't afford all the collectible editions, so I'm not getting the one for Fallout, because that's quite a commitment, $200.
I wanted to get the one for Kingdom Hearts 3, but it's also over $200.
Yeah, that's too much for me right now. If it's 100, 100%, I'll do it, but 200 is a little expensive.
Dude, here's what we'll do. We'll buy pop figures, then we'll unbox those.
Unbox all the pop figures? Those would be exhilarating, I'm sure, especially all the small ones, like all the side characters from some anime we've never heard of.
Yeah.
So
like
now, Kyle from the community, he'd be all in on that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Please let us know in the comments, Kyle, if you would be into that idea unboxing.
I think it's
pop
also
figures.
Carlos from our community. He's really into the pop figures.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I feel like every week he's posting new ones that are coming out.
Nice. I bought about 5 or 6 of those. And then I realized, I'm like, what is it that I really like about these?
Yeah.
I was like, not much.
Yeah,
so
nothing.
I'm going to stop here.
The only ones I buy anymore are the Overwatch ones. Just because I told myself that I was going to get them all. Because that would be kind of cool, just having... I mean, there's going to be so many heroes. Like, I can't sit here and say how many there's going to be. So who knows how much shelf space I'm going to need.
Right.
But I already have like 10 of them.
Okay.
And I don't even have them all yet. So.
Excellent.
They're adding more and more. And I'm running out of shelf space, Garrett.
Cool.
It's kind of a problem.
Well, maybe you should get a new shelf.
Maybe.
Or just
I don't have a whole lot
them.
Of room in my room.
Just melt them all. Just throw them in the fire.
Yeah.
You don't need them.
Is that what people do with collections? They just melt them?
That's what I do.
Oh.
That's what I intend to do with the collectibles I don't need when I invest in the Doom figure from the game. You know, little collectibles you can find throughout the game where you can fist bump it. I have every intention of picking that up, hopefully in the near future. I've had the link on my desktop for months, and I haven't pulled the trigger. I think it's about $50.
On PC?
It's $30 or $50, can't remember.
Yeah.
Not the game, too, but the collectible figure from Doom.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So I almost bought Doom on the Steam sale, but I didn't.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Jacob, you're killing me, man. That game is so awesome. You got to play it before Doom Eternal comes out. I promise you'll be satisfied.
I will play it before then if I plan on playing Eternal. But maybe I don't play that either.
Highly suggest it.
I know you guys have literally been telling me every week to play it.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to the day you finally do. Preston said he picked it up on PC recently and said it was excellent, as I assume. That's the thing. It's great on PS4 as well. Runs at that steady 60 frames, but PC is where... the game originated, so.
That man has bought so many copies of the same game.
He has. He's done that multiple times. I wouldn't be surprised. I'll probably do the same thing, that we'll both end up buying 2 copies of Spider-Man, because we won't be able to wait the 10 hours between midnight of when the game launches to when we pick up our collectible editions at Best Buy. That's a 10-hour span that people are playing in, and I'm not playing it. I can't handle that. I think an extra $60 is worth that time.
Are you taking that day off?
Probably, yeah. That's the thing. I'm hoping I have the what I consider profound privilege of reviewing it for COD Connected. Because that's the thing. I would critique it greatly because I want it to be amazing and I want it to reach that Batman Arkham quality. So if it's not up to par, I want to critique it for the sake of it improving over time. Not that they can tweak like major story points or anything in the game, but as far as maybe gameplay and stuff, because obviously I'm such a fanboy of the character and I gushed over the time I played with it at E3. But, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and I would promise myself and the site that I would review it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Without my fanboy blinders on. So we'll see how that goes. That's the thing. At the same time, I just want to play it because I want to enjoy it, not have to like really focus on all the aspects of it too deeply. But
yeah,
we'll see. I'm so excited for that. I'll so close, too. You'll stream it?
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Stream Destiny 2 earlier that week.
Okay. For Forsaken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'll join you in that, Jacob.
You think so? Yes. You can have a character up to par by then?
If they do that thing where you can level up right when you start.
Oh, yeah, with the...
Because I can't bring myself to play through that story again. I've done it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Twitch streaming, we did a lot of that this week.
We did.
How'd you like it?
It was fun. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of different games this week. Yeah, just a lot of fun interaction with our community. And you also did your own streaming, correct?
I did. I did morning streams exclusively, at least when I was hosting. I joined you on a few of the evening streams. That was a good time, as always. But I've been doing morning streams as sort of an experiment to see those of you specifically around the world who can't tune into our evening streams is kind of the idea. But it seems that even some of our community from the United States and near us were also tuning in, which is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did see a lot of new faces that were in the morning stream and not the night stream.
Yeah, it's awesome. We cannot thank you guys enough for supporting us there, because we know streaming, as you all know at this point, is super popular, even more so than typical Let's Plays and everything that we normally do on this channel. So we've sort of shifted focus. I mean, YouTube's still going to be a big part of it's obvious gaming, but I think we're going to focus on one, streaming, and then turning our stream highlights into Let's Plays in a way. Mm-hmm. In the form of a Let's Play, where it's just stream highlights, the funniest moments or the best moments, whatever may have happened. That's sort of the idea we're transitioning into. Now, we'll still do impression stuff on various games that we're excited about. And we want to do some Mario Tennis Let's Plays because we think they'd be great, but we're having a hard time finding the time. That's what's great about Twitch. Those of you that stream as well know this, that you're doing it live, you're interacting with your community live, and then there's not really any post work unless, of course, you make highlight clips or videos.
Right, yeah.
So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone where you're producing that quote-unquote content. I hate that word. It's overused. Yeah. But you're doing that and also engaging with the community at the same time. So yeah, that's why it really works for us right now, because we're so busy. So that's why we've kind of shifted focus more to Twitch than to YouTube videos.
It's also useful because if you miss the stream, you know, the highlights of the stream will be on YouTube. So
but due to the moderate success of the morning streams, I think I did it twice this past week. I intended to do it three times, but one of the nights I worked all night long and some COG stuff I had to do, and I just completely overslept. I was so mad when I woke up. But I have every intention to stream every single morning this week, Monday through Friday. So if you're listening to this podcast between the hours of 10 a.m. and noon U.S. Eastern, I'm currently on Twitch streaming. You should come hang out. Wow. Maybe pause the podcast and come say hi for a little bit.
That'd be cool. You can always come back to the podcast later. Yeah.
Now, it's going to be grueling because I work most nights this week, so I will be going to and from Atlanta back and forth every day in the wee hours of the night, but I'm going to commit and stream every morning this week if I can, unless something comes up, of course.
I would be honored if you did so.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, and I know our new Twitch schedule is live on our Discord. It's pinned in the announcements tab if you're on our Discord, and I won't list out all the times, but it's Monday through Thursday and then Saturday and various times. And typically the hours are 8 p.m. to midnight or 8 p.m. to 10.
Yeah.
So
the only one that's 8 p.m. to 10 is Wednesday.
That's
because I can't stay up super late.
So those are Jacob's evening streams. Unless he can't do it, I'll typically fill in if I can. And then morning streams with me between the hours of 10 a.m. and noon to 1 p.m. usually. Yeah. I do it earlier. I mean, I would experiment with earlier if people are up at that time. But I've been starting around 10 because I feel like most people usually get up around that time or are up around that time. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, morning streams and evening streams I think nearly every night this week.
Yeah, mostly super awesome.
Yeah,
a lot of activity on our channel.
Mm-hmm. I will. I'm going to stream some more Hunt because it's very small on Twitch and we've been doing pretty well with Hunt. I don't mean performance wise. I've been sucking ass at the game recently. Yeah. But as far as people streaming Twitch or streaming Hunt on Twitch, it's few and far between. So we're going to do that a bit more to see if we can gain some new followers and just some fans of Hunt because I love the game.
Yeah.
And we of course had some moments of glory out there, but I've definitely fallen behind as far as skill level because the game's evolved in the time I was away because I played the crap. I played over 100 hours of it when it first launched and I was killing it. Every single match I would win several in a row and I knew all the nooks and crannies. I had the map memorized. I had all the tips and tricks memorized. And then I stepped away for about 3 months because of school and the game evolved exponentially in that time. It runs smoother. There's new weapons. There's been tweaks to weapons. The map has been tweaked a little bit. Bosses react differently. So people figured out all these new things to do. And I'm very much in the middle of knowing the old version of the game and learning the new version of the game.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a learning process, but it's a whole lot of fun. And I greatly appreciate it. Carlos joined me on a few streams as well to play, and me and Preston have seen a lot of success together, so maybe Preston will join me for some more.
Yeah,
but some more Hunt. I may stream some Far Cry, even though that's kind of in vain because I'm sure there's still quite an audience watching Far Cry on Twitch. Maybe, maybe not, but I haven't finished the game and I still feel like that game's a lot of fun to watch people play because there's just so many things to do in it. And I'm in Faith's region at the moment, which is gorgeous. I totally see now why you guys say it's your favorite, because not only is it beautiful, but there's a lot of diverse areas there.
Yeah.
A lot of fun quests as well.
And now I see interacts with that story is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think it's kind of cool where I'll be fishing and all of a sudden she appears behind me just talking about stuff and I'll like shoot her in the face or throw a shovel at her and she disappears. But I see now why you like that region more than Jacob's, because Jacob's is very mountainous, but so is hers, and hers is just better in every way. Plus, his missions annoyed the hell out of me.
So bad.
His boss battle. I see now why you guys were hating on his boss battle, because that sucked too. It's like, man, they really dropped the ball with his region. But overall, the game's awesome.
Yeah.
Loving it. So I may bounce between Hunt and Far Cry 5 this week. We'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, Twitch is awesome, man. I'm loving it. Yeah. I mean, our Twitch streams will probably evolve over time and improve and quality-wise and everything we're doing. We're still kind of learning the ropes of Twitch. I know you know a lot more about it than I do.
Yeah.
We're going to add some new widgets.
We're going to be changing that, obviously.
Yeah, and alerts. It's every week you'll see it improve. So we highly encourage you guys, if you've yet to join us on YouTube or Discord or even Twitch, join us in one of those places, please. We'd love to meet you guys if we haven't met you already. Even if you've been a lurker for years, for a week, for a day, please come say hello.
Yeah, come by and give us a follow.
Yeah, follow, or and if you're really willing, subscribe on Twitch.
Yeah.
That'd be greatly appreciated.
And say hi in the chat.
Yeah, please do so.
That's what I love most, is just people that come and say hi.
Absolutely. You and I should team up for a stream one week where it's very chat intensive, where they kind of have to collaborate with us on doing things. I think there's a game called...
I have a perfect game for that.
What's that?
There's a game called Goff It.
Okay.
And it's literally like a game where you play putt-putt.
Really?
But it's like really hard, like really funky courses.
Okay.
But all you do is like just drag your meter back and you hit the ball.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's not even like putt or clubs. Mm-hmm. It's just balls.
Yeah. If we could play a game together on stream where it's not really spectator based, but more interactive with the chat, I think that'd be really good.
Yeah. We'd have to look at some of those.
Yeah. I know there's many out there that would be fun, but we'll look into it.
Oh, yeah.
We should do at least one more Mario Tennis stream together. And Nintendo in general, do Mario Tennis and Mario Kart one night.
Yeah,
especially when Super Mario Party comes out and Smash Bros.
Oh my god!
I mean, of course, we'll do individual streams of those. Imagine like a Super Nintendo stream where it's like all four of those.
Yeah,
like awesome. One for each hour. It'd be awesome.
What, you mean like Super Nintendo, like the console, or just like a Super Nintendo?
A Super Nintendo stream where we'll do Mario Kart, we'll do tennis, Super Mario Party, and Smash Bros. And just the whole community can play with us. That'd be awesome.
Or we could have like a dead silent Zelda stream where we don't talk to chat at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what the people really want.
I think it'd be great. That's what's funny is that I've seen streamers where I guess it's just the audience is into it, or I've seen a streamer play an RPG where he doesn't even talk to the chat at all. He just will go into a game and read, like say in Skyrim, for example, there's books you can pick up and read, especially in The Witcher. He'll just sit there and read them aloud and people will just listen to him. Yeah. 60,000 people watch him do this.
It's hilarious.
I'm like, what are we doing wrong? Because this guy's killing it reading books in a video game and 60,000 people are into it.
Mm-hmm.
So to each his own, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's people watch Twitch for different reasons.
Right.
We got to kind of figure out what our niche is.
Yeah. We're going to figure it out. Of course, right now we're playing a lot of the games we enjoy. But we're also looking for outlets to play games that are smaller, of course, to gain additional subscribers and followers. And I know a lot of you out there in the community stream as well. So by all means, in that community content tab, share your streams and we'll tune in when we can as well, because we want to support each other.
Yep.
So we're excited about it. And like we said, we can't thank you enough for the support. And It's Obvious Gaming is still alive and well. And also, if you're watching the YouTube video, I don't know how many people watch the video version of this podcast. We get a couple hundred each week on YouTube. Yeah. But if you're wondering why you can see all of the details in our faces, all of the imperfections, it's because we are finally using our fancy new camera. It's a Panasonic GH4.
Ooh.
And that's not the nicest camera on the market. And there's even a GH5 now. Really. But this one is still very nice for what it is. And I've used it a decent bit. I used a lot of it for E3. But we're using it for the podcast for the first time. So hopefully nothing goes wrong in editing. It should be fine. But I will still tweak with the settings and stuff as we move forward. But yeah, we wanted the video version of the podcast to appear a little more professionally. I think the only thing we're missing now is obviously an acoustically treated room and a decent set. Because I've been doing it in my bedroom for years, since the beginning. Yeah. And of course, had a couple streams in some hotel rooms in the past, and Zach's apartment once.
It's very hot in here.
It's always very hot in here. Yeah, we need some better air conditioning as well. And you guys will also be happy to know is that I've already filtered out the air this week. The stars aligned, and as we began the podcast, yeah, the air was going, so we don't have to do that stupid pause we do every week.
Yep.
But yeah, new camera on YouTube. You can come check it out and tell us how ugly we look. Now you can see far more pixels in the frame.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure the people will love it.
Hopefully, yeah. I don't see who would ever sit through a 2.5 hour podcast on a video and just stare at us.
But I know.
If you do, we appreciate it, man. Yeah. And we do the video version because I feel like it's a better way to connect with us. You can kind of see what we look and everything. So
it's for those hardcore fans that want to just see what really happens.
If you don't watch the whole video from start to finish, you're not a real fan.
For real.
So, but yeah.
So how was your week, man?
It was great, man. I played a lot of video games.
Oh, before we start, we should probably say that there will be time codes.
Yeah, we keep forgetting that. We need to say that immediately when the podcast starts. Yeah. I guarantee you we've had 100 people see this podcast and we ramble about Taco Bell and pooping at the beginning. They're what the hell is this? And they leave and never come back. We've had comments in the past where like, why aren't you talking about video games? And I look at the time codes like 57 minutes in. We still haven't said a thing about games.
Yeah.
So we need to do better about that. We'll start next week. We'll remember next week. I think we've been saying that for months too. We need to talk about the time codes at the beginning.
I'll set a reminder on my phone.
My week was great.
Yeah.
I played a lot of video games. I also worked a lot, which I'll talk about here in a minute. I actually ran sound for a really cool band last night.
Cool.
Video game wise, I played the Battlefield 5 closed alpha for COD Connected, specifically for video purposes. I may write some stuff about it, but it's not entirely different from the E3 build of the game. In fact, I don't think there were any changes whatsoever that I can notice. But some of the major ones that I was unaware of at E3, because I didn't really get to analyze the footage too much because I was so busy. But upon analyzing it a second time, the health is different this time around. So let's say you get shot up and you live through the firefight. Typically, in past Battlefield games and most shooters nowadays, your health will fully regenerate. Now it would only regenerate till about 60-70%, depending on where you got shot. So you'll never fully heal unless you pick up a med pack from a medic. So it emphasizes the role of a medic even more now to heal your squad.
So let me interrupt you before you continue.
Okay.
Aren't there like supply crates and like health like crates as well, where you can just refill?
Yeah, health crates and ammo crates. And you're also equipped with far less ammo this time around. So I think that also encourages people to not camp around a lot. So you kind of have to just move forward and just use what you have.
That sucks for snipers.
Exactly. I think it prevents snipers from camping all day, which I think is great because I sniped a lot myself just to get a cool sniper video out of it.
Yeah.
And I ran out of ammo all the time. I constantly had to seek a support class in my squad to dump ammo for me or one of those crates. So I like that a lot. I think that's a really good change to the game. And I realized I was unaware of this. It isn't, you can't heal anyone on your team. You know, they said like, oh, anyone can revive their teammates. It just takes longer than medic. That actually isn't true. You can only heal people in your squad. Okay. So if someone in your squad goes down and you're not a medic, you can heal them. It just takes significantly longer than a medic just popping them with a needle. And they also updated the medic to where there's an actual slightly longer animation when you heal people. So it isn't just like you can run around just like those defibrillator things. Yeah. Just, well, I guess that's in modern Battlefield, but just instantly reviving people. So it's kind of a little more dangerous to go out and heal someone regardless.
What was it in Battlefield 1? Was it like a shot?
Yeah, it was a needle. Same thing in World War II. It's like a needle. I think it's like morphine or something.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. There's more emphasis on the roles of support and medic specifically because of those reasons. What's something else that's different?
I watched the gameplay of it.
Yeah, that's two of the major changes that I think are awesome. But it kind of sucks, though, because if you're not playing with people you don't know, there's just, it's so much harder to win in that game, because if you're not communicating with your squad, you will never get anything done. No matter which match I played, I think I won maybe one match, but the teams were never just in sync whatsoever. People are going to different objectives the whole time. We were never focused on a singular objective. And I think if we were, you'd have a lot more success.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this is, but I never played on defense in Conquest, or no, there's not really defense on Conquest, but I never played on defense in Grand Operations, and I never played on the opposite team in Conquest. I think when you get your alpha code, it just designates you to a certain side and forces you to stay on that side. So between E3 and the closed alpha, I've yet to play on the defensive side of Grand Operations, and they always win every single time. I don't know if that's a balance problem they have, or I'm just getting stuck with crappy teammates, but that game is brutally difficult, man. It's no joke.
Yeah.
And I what I like about it is that I had to get out of the habit of wanting to just run and gun like I do in Call of Duty. And to an extent, I did that in Battlefield 1 too, and had a lot of success with it. And it isn't that I can't shoot people, because, I mean, even the gameplay I captured, I did fine on keyboard and mouse. It feels great. But if you're not taking cover and kind of peeking around cover in firefights, then you're going to die every single time.
Yeah. Do you die quick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's what I like about it, is that it feel, I know this is such a generic thing to say about Battlefield, but it really does feel like you're at war. I know I've never been to actual war, but as far as a video game, it feels that immersive, because if I'm not taking cover, I'm dead instantly. I don't heal all the way. In order to be effective, you have to move from cover point to get to an objective without getting shot in the face.
Yeah. Battlefield's always been really good at doing that. Just having a good environment and the ability to capture you in the moment. And just the landscape that they build.
Yeah, and the destruction.
And the sound effects in Battlefield.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Sound design is almost unparalleled in video games. It's
like
incredible.
That on top of like Battlefront 2 as well, or just any of the Battlefronts that EA has made.
I mean, the closed alpha graphically has a ways to go, you can tell, but even we know that with Battlefield 1, visually and audibly, those games sound and look unbelievable. I mean, Frostbite, especially when DICE is using it, is incredible.
Yeah.
So I know this game's going to look and sound beautiful, but in its current state, it's still a little rough. I mean, frame rate wise, I was pretty stable around 60, and visually you can tell it's still going to enhance a bit before it launches. But overall, it's super solid. I'm trying to think of something else. Oh, yeah, the destruction I was mentioning. It's back in full force like it was in Bad Company and stuff, because I kind of dialed it back with Battlefield 1. But it is so awesome to be in a house and a tank blows off part of the roof and just bricks fall into it. And like tiny little pieces of glass and everything will fall. Yeah. And the whole structure will just fall apart around you when you're inside it.
Yeah.
And that's what's funny, is that as much fun as people were making of the initial launch trailer, where they're running through that house and parts of it are blowing up and they're jumping out windows.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it feels like in this game. I've been multiple times where I'll run in a building, and as I'm running up a staircase, the entire roof will blow off, and I'll run up the staircase and burst out a window, and it's so epic.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that trailer actually realized in the gameplay, because I looked at that trailer and I know there's a little gameplay in that trailer, but when I first saw it, I'm like, that's so exaggerated, it never feels like that, but it really does feel like that in certain moments. So high praise for that.
I'm glad to see the destructibility come back in full force.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of how it was in 4.
That's great.
So it's good to see it back.
It's cool, too. Your character will be impacted by massive explosions. There's been a couple times where I'm running past something that'll explode, and it'll knock you completely over as you're running by it, which is pretty cool. Like, I've been by a train that explodes, and it knocks me back, like, 6 feet. And I think you ragdoll, too, because my whole screen's shaking everywhere, and I can't tell where I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like that'd be how it really is, because I get up, I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And you typically don't take much damage when that happens, but it's just kind of cool to be running and knocked over like that. So it's super brutal, super hard.
Can you imagine having like a sliver of health and just dying to that?
Yeah. So that's what's kind of exciting about it, that I've really had to train myself to kind of dial it back a bit. I think that's my same problem with Hunt, is that I've been playing so much Far Cry that I kind of just want to go out there and run and gun. And I have to remember that to be successful in Hunt, you really have to be slow and steady about it and actually be a hunter, because if I run around like a lunatic, I'm going to die every time.
Yeah.
But same thing with Battlefield. You got to just take it slow and steady and it'll be more successful. But
very good.
Yeah, had a lot of fun with that. I also captured a whole lot of gameplay for
the Beast.
The Beast are at it again. Captured a lot of gameplay for the Crew too, for COG's review. I'm not reviewing it, I'm just doing the video version of it. And that game kind of sucks. It's not very good.
Just like the first one.
Because I never played the first one. I never really even heard anything about it. But I was always intrigued by the idea of having the entire United States to travel in an open world with cars. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. But it is just so underwhelming. It's very, very ambitious. And I think I can see where the ideas are, but when I'm playing it, I'm like, this is just so underwhelming. Now, graphically, the cars look really, really good, but the world is just so lifeless and just looks pretty bad for the most part. Now, all the major landmarks, say like the Golden Gate Bridge or the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty, the Grand Canyon, stuff like that, all those major monuments look really good, but the environments around them and the cities around them just look terrible. Yeah. I mean, you'll be driving through, say, Las Vegas, and your car is like almost half the size of a building. It's like the scale is way off.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get why they have to do that. They have to scale everything down and make it feel like, one, an entire United States open world, but also for it all to run without loading. So it doesn't look very good. The vehicles feel pretty janky for the most part. It is pretty funny.
They don't control well?
I mean, they control fine, but it doesn't feel as fluid as, say, a Forza or, in my experience, a Burnout in the past.
Yeah.
So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm sure there's an audience that enjoys it, but overall performance wise and graphically, it isn't up to par with other racers. And again, in its defense, it's the whole United States. So yeah, I get it.
I remember when the first one was coming out, when it was announced, and I was actually excited for it because just the idea of being able to travel across the United States was such an ambitious thing to do.
That's what's weird is that, as cool as that sounds, I've yet to just bring myself up. Like, I'm going to drive from Florida to Oregon. I've yet to have the desire to do that in the game. I think it's because, one, I'd rather be playing other things anyway. But
In racing games aren't really either of our, you know, our genre that we enjoy.
No, but it's funny though, me and Preston and I both talked about how we're interested in Forza Horizon 4, especially after playing it. It's just...
Oh, I am too, yeah.
I think I've given Forza the chance I think it deserves because it's such a successful franchise and there's a ton of fans. And again, I've had a ton of fun with racers in the past. I think Horizon 4 may be the first one I pick up and really give it a shot and see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, I'm just wondering anything else about Crew. Oh yeah, the dialogue is the cringiest stuff I've ever heard in my entire life. It is so juvenile. I think it's written for 13-year-olds. Here's a line from the opening statement from the game. So you're talking to this promoter, and you're a racer, and he's talking about how you're going to the race, and the game's all about gaining followers, which is so hypocritical when I say I think that's so goofy, too. It's just like, it's all about your followers. You know, like, if you don't get enough followers, you're not cool. So you start out with zero followers, and it's all about building your fan base, which is hilarious because that's exactly what we're trying to do on the internet. But when I hear other people promoting it in like a racing game, I feel like an idiot for some reason. It just kind of puts things into perspective. I'm like, does this really matter? Gaining followers, it just seems silly. Anyway, the dialogue in the opening statement, your character says something like, I'm going to go out there and do my best. And the promoter goes, I don't want your best. I want incredible badassdom. He says, incredible badassdom.
Cringe.
It was awful, Jacob. And it doesn't help either that their animations are like Andromeda level, initial Andrometa level.
No.
They're just totally lifeless. So this robot with wide eyes is like, I want you to go out there and give me incredible badassdom. I'm like, that is awful.
Wait, do you actually like get out of your car and talk to people?
You do. It's funny. In certain spots, it'll let you go into first person and kind of explore an open area. And that alone feels awful when you're walking around in first person. It looks bad. And you have like every bug-eyed people just standing around you the whole time. You also have an apartment, like a penthouse where your cars will reside. You can change your outfits and stuff, which I think is pointless because you're in a car the whole time. But it's rough. I'm sure people enjoy it, but it's definitely not for me.
Good to know.
Other than that, I just played Far Cry and Hunt this week.
Gotcha.
What about you?
Well, like we said earlier, did a lot of streaming this week, and that's primarily where I did almost all of my gaming. Start off with something new. I started Ori and the Blind Forest. Holy crap, Garrett. The game's soundtrack is absolutely beautiful. Like, it's probably one of the best I've ever heard. Visually, the game is also stunning. Lots of bright, like, it's a lot of the environments are kind of darker, and then that's kind of contrasted by Ori, the little spirit that you kind of play as through the game. And Ori's like incredibly bright. It's a bright white character. So it's kind of like a cool little contrast between, like, you can clearly see your character all the time, but you can also, like, it looks good in the environments because it's darker. But like I said, the soundtrack's good. The visuals are fantastic, and the gameplay is pretty solid. The only problem I've found while playing is just sometimes I find myself getting a little lost. That might be because I'm streaming it and I'm not paying attention to what I'm supposed to be doing, or it might just be a little more complicated than, you know, I think it needs to be. But I mean, there's been Metroidvanias in the past that are much more complicated or harder than this game is. So I'm kind of new to the genre, so it might take some getting used to kind of finish the game and figure things out for myself. But I'm really enjoying the game. It's super fun.
I witnessed your struggle on your stream. I tuned in a bit while I was editing Battlefield videos. I was like, man, Jacob sucks. I'm just kidding.
I'm not great.
I was awful at E3 when I was playing The Wheel of the Wisps.
Yeah.
And I have quite a learning curve in that game, too. I want to go back and play the first one like you are before the second one, because just what little of what I played in the second one, I'm intrigued to go back and play the first because so many people praised it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll get to that eventually. Yeah, it's on my long list of things to play before Spider-Man and Red Dead and all that stuff comes out.
And you're
out.
Not playing Octopath, right?
I don't intend to. The demo I played didn't really grab me.
You're a fool, Garrett.
I love Persona as well, but it really takes a lot out of me to play turn-based games. And I don't hate them. They're just not my favorite type of games to play.
You son of a bitch.
No, I will. Like I said, there will come a day where I see Persona 5 through to the end because I love that game. The 25 hours I spent with it were incredible.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment, and there's other stuff I want to play.
Yeah.
So
you're not going to play Pokemon next fall either, are you?
You mean the new Pokemon coming?
New.
Are you talking about Let's Go Eevee and all that?
No, new.
The new one I will probably play.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I mean, I probably will.
You and your turn-based combat.
I don't, like I said, I don't hate it. It's just not my favorite.
I get that. Everyone has their thing.
Yeah.
Played more Fortnite this week. I'm slowly but steadily getting much better at that game.
Okay.
When I first started, I couldn't do anything, man. Like, my buttons were where I didn't want them to be. My sensitivity was really high. I've kind of condensed all that to things that I'm comfortable with using on my keyboard, and my sensitivity is much more manageable now. I'm much better at shooting people now. I still struggle with sort of some of the building concepts, but it's going to take time for me to learn all that stuff. But I've been learning like little tricks. Like every time I stream, like I tell this to the chat, I learn like two or three things every time I stream the game. So it's slowly but surely I'm going to learn how to play Fortnite well. And hopefully it'll turn into a better viewer experience, because right now I'm just awful, Garrett. But I want to be better. But did you hear about or witness the rocket launch in the game?
I watched it on YouTube and I was confused as to what it was exactly.
Yeah, I was trying to get in because I had a lot of Saturday off. So I tried to get into the game and see that happen. I wasn't there in time because there was a queue to get into the client. Mm-hmm. So I missed it by a couple minutes. But I watched another streamer play through it, and the launch was super cool because a rocket like shot up into the sky. It disappeared. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know if it was the same rocket or if someone else shot a missile or something into the game.
Right.
But this missile just falls out of the sky. It has like a red laser that it shoots towards a tilted towers.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it.
There's like a shield over it.
Yeah,
right?
Then it disappeared.
Yeah.
It appeared somewhere else and shot across the map. Then it disappeared again. Then something fell off and fell into like Anarchy Acres, which is one of the farmland kind of looking areas. So like a little
aliens,
a little bogey fell off somewhere. And then the missile like reappeared again, shot up into the sky and like cracked the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's like trying to speculate what's going on.
Yeah.
It was super cool just seeing that happen live in a game on multiple servers.
Yeah. That's why Fortnite continues to blow my mind. I've enjoyed it. I've come around to enjoying playing it because obviously I joined you on a few streams this week, and I get the appeal totally. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not like dying to play it constantly, but whenever I do play it, I have a really good time, especially with friends. And so I get now what the appeal is, but it still continues to blow my mind just seeing the constant, not only just interaction that everyone has with the game, but just the constant updates Epic brings to it, not only just cosmetically, but also just within the world and this rocket thing that everyone freaked out about. I'm like, I was so lost where everyone on the internet was like, holy shit. And I was like, what is this? But that's why
it's just the fear of missing out.
Yeah, that's why they've had so much success. And I think that they totally deserve
it. They're brilliant for what they did.
So it is just the funniest thing, the evolution of that game to what it's become. And it's just the weirdest story. I'd love for Noclip to do a documentary. I mean, it's all obvious. I mean, Epic Games had their concept and they're like, oh, Battle Royale's popular. We're fans of it. Let's kind of make our own version of that.
They had the perfect playground for it.
Yeah. I think the more interesting interview would just really be what their reactions have been and how they've managed the massive surge in success they've had in such a short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, arguably before the blow up of this Battle Royale Fortnite, like all they had was like Unreal.
Yeah.
Because if you look at their launcher, there's not much on there besides
that and
Fortnite.
Gears in the past. But yeah, and then they shut down Paragon. They realized the success of Fortnite. They're like, hey, F you, Paragon. This is our game now.
Yeah, you got to think, like, maybe they wouldn't have shut down Paragon. Maybe they would have tried to make that more successful had Fortnite not
That's what's
up.
Funny is that I guess people assumed that. I mean, MOBAs are still a thing with a certain audience, but I guess people assumed to an extent, like, oh, MOBA's going to be the next big thing. And then out of nowhere comes PUBG. I mean, of course, H1Z1 was around in DayZ before that and everything. But I guess they saw the craze and like, let's see how this goes. And holy crap, were they in the right place?
I think they made a good decision.
And then everyone else tried to copy them.
Yeah.
So,
but before we move on from Fortnite, I had a sick deagle shot from like across the
map. Did you?
And I headshot a guy and killed him instantly.
That's awesome.
It was so satisfying. I clipped it for someone in stream. I think it was Handsome Jack. He clipped it on stream and I put it in Discord.
Nice.
Everyone can watch
that. I'd love to see that.
Anyway, I got a victory royale last night with Frog, and
really?
I think Justifiable. And then we had one earlier in the week, I think, with Kyle and some other people.
Okay. I know Preston and I got one. I was on my hands and knees when he won, but
yeah.
I was there. We were the last two survivors.
Yeah, yeah, I was dead.
It was so funny how all this time I'm like, I don't really like Fortnite that much. It's not really for me, dude. Yeah. And then as soon as we went to Battle Royale, we're like, oh, my God.
Like, that's freaking what it was out. Last night. I was like, yeah.
It's because we've never won in PUBG. So when we went in Fortnite, we lost our minds, dude.
I just love the stories. Like, and then on top of that, I can clip good things that happen on Twitch and just share it with everyone.
It's great.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You going to do that anymore this week?
Fortnite?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Really enjoying streaming that.
Nice.
And so played Overwatch PTR, Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Been trying out the new hero Wrecking Ball, which we can kind of talk about because it's not in our
Watched a little of that stream as well. Mm-hmm. That character is absurd.
He's insane. So much mobility.
Yeah.
So basically, for people that are watching that don't know who don't listen to Overwatch at all or keep up with it, Wrecking Ball is a new hero. He's literally a hamster in a ball, a mechanized ball or weaponized ball. He literally rolls around the map to get around quicker, which already gives him like more mobility than almost every character in the game. And he's a tank. He has a grappling hook, which he can use to swing around on any object. And if you get momentum, you turn orange and you can use that to knock enemies back and do damage to them, which is already insanely powerful on its own. But on top of that, if you're up in the air, you can hold down control, which is usually your crouch button in Overwatch. You can, you'll wind up for a second, you'll slam down on the ground and do a ton of damage to everyone under you. But the cool thing is, because he's a tank, he has this E ability. And the more people that are around you, when you press that E, the more shield you get. So if you're like in the thick of the enemy in back lines and like all six of the enemy teams around you and you pop that E, I think you get close to like, you have like 900 health.
Holy crap.
It's insane. Yeah. And like half of it shields.
They call him Wrecking Ball for a reason.
Yeah, he's absolutely insane right now. Obviously, they're going to be tweaking him and whatnot, but he's very fun to play. And I can't wait for him to be on the live
server. Especially when people latch onto something and just whirlwind around it.
Like a lot of people, when it's on the payload maps where the team's moving the payload, Wrecking Balls like to attach themselves to the payload and just swing around the payload so the enemy team can't touch the payload. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with him.
I really need to pick up Overwatch, man. I don't know what's taking me so long. I'll drop $30 on Dying Light and Portal 2 and all these other games. I'm like, yeah, this is great.
I mean, you obviously
Overwatch is still sitting there, and I don't.
You obviously don't want to play it, Garrett.
I think I do, though, Jacob.
I think
if I play a single match again with you and a couple other community members, I'd be reminded of how much fun I used to have with that. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to do.
But after we played Fortnite yesterday on stream, Saturday. This will go live Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We played more PTR Overwatch in the night.
Wonderful.
It was a good time.
Great.
But the only other thing I played this week, we streamed Mario Tennis Aces and Mario Kart this week, me and you.
Yeah.
And that was a good time.
It was.
I mentioned this on stream Friday night. I went over to Evan's and we played so much Mario Tennis. Like he went from not knowing how to do anything to
doing well.
Yeah. He's pretty good now.
Nice. We should go over there and play.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. We played on his projector.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's unfortunate that he didn't have internet down there at the time because we were trying to do like a tournament. I don't know if you do two-player tournaments or not. I'm not really
I think
sure.
You can. Like 2-on-2 locally?
No, I mean like the online tournaments.
I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you totally can. Yeah. I think I've tried it before.
Okay. Well, we just didn't have internet connection, so that wasn't an option for us. Mm-hmm. So we just did the local play. But
because you and I did a 2-on-2 tournament, remember? We did that a couple times.
Did we?
Yeah.
You sure?
Because we won most of the times. I had Boo. using that trick
I thought
shot.
I thought we just did like, you know what I mean? Like the tournament where you actually get into
Oh, we were just playing matches. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know if you can.
Yeah. Because that's what, like, I love the competitiveness of that tournament mode.
Yeah, it's intense.
You know,
I get so pissed when I lose, dude.
I know, yeah.
It's so frustrating.
I actually haven't played it yet on my own account. I haven't touched the tournament mode. I've been trying to get through that stupid adventure mode just like the completionist in me wants to get through it. And not, like, I guess at the same time, I'm getting better just because I'm conquering all these difficult challenges because it's not easy, that adventure mode. There's some pretty tough stuff. So that's kind of what I'm doing. It just to, you know, also to complete it, but also to get better.
Cool. Yeah, with the exception of that one stream, I haven't played a whole lot of tennis in a while. I haven't had time, but I'm going to get back to it this week. Hopefully it's a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. I think that's it, Garrett.
Yeah?
I played a little Destiny 2 this week, but nothing new on that front.
Cool.
That's about it for me.
Nice. The only other interesting thing I did is I ran sound for a band called Rest Repose last night.
Okay.
And fun fact about that band is that their guitar player has 1.9 million subscribers on YouTube. His name is Jared Dines. And okay. I knew of this guy for a couple years, actually, because of his hilarious YouTube videos called like top 10 metalcore singer moves or top 10 generic pop punk tropes and everything, like stuff like that. And they're so accurate and hilarious that that's why he got so famous, because just everyone can relate to that.
Yeah, you ought to link me one.
Yeah, they're pretty funny, but that's how his band, I think, has seen so much success already, because he started this band after he had all the success on YouTube and they instantly have nearly 2 million fans.
That helps.
Because of that. But they were really, really solid. They kind of remind me of Breaking Benjamin mixed with a little more metalcore. Sort of like Breaking Benjamin meets metalcore. And they had a really cool sound, and they killed it live, too. It was awesome. And really easy for me as well, because they had this, and this might sound like gibberish to some people, they had this split snake system where I plugged into their split, and their amps didn't make any noise on stage. So they came straight to my board, so I had complete and total control over the volume on stage and in the house. So typically bands will have their amps on stage and they'll just be blasting off the stage. They'll constantly have to tell people to turn them down and let the mic do all the work on stage. Otherwise, it'll just wash out the room and sound terrible. But they gave me total control over their entire mix, and they sounded outstanding. And it wasn't really even me. Just the performance is so good, I hardly had to do anything. So that was just super interesting to see his band come through and get to run sound for him after seeing him on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah.
That was a lot of fun. So did that. I have to go all the way back there tonight.
I've always been envious of your ability to manage audio.
Oh, I mean, that's super easy. A caveman can do it.
No.
It looks far more intimidating.
I don't believe that for a second, or it wouldn't be so hard.
It's funny. Every sound guy agrees on that. Is that after you've done it for a while, you're like, man, you'd have to be, literally anyone can do it. I could probably explain it to you in 10 minutes. You'd be like, oh, okay.
It's probably just intimidating because there's so many systems, it just seems like.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is how I describe it. There are very set in stone guidelines to doing sound, and there are some rules as well, but mostly just guidelines, and the rest is totally subjective. That's like the first thing they tell you if you go to music school. They're like, a lot of the reason why people do this is because you can really make it your own. So that's what's great about it, is that there are many ways to do things, and very few of them are incorrect.
Gotcha.
So yeah
we'll have to sit down one day and get my audio on stream up to par.
I do need
a soundboard, though.
That's first and million first. Of them out there. We'll find one. You want to jump into the news this week?
I'd love to do that.
Great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the It's Obvious podcast, where my best friends and I, gather every single week to discuss video games and other things. I can never remember Preston's full intro, but if you're listening to this podcast anywhere on the internet, aside from YouTube, say iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, any of those places, we highly encourage you to hop on over to youtube.com/itsobviousgaming and twitch.com/itsobviousgaming to both.
Twitch.tv.
Excuse me, twitch.tv/itsobviousgaming.
Go to twitch.com. I don't know where that goes.
Yeah, don't be careful. You never know where that'll take you. twitch.tv/itsobviousgaming to not only follow, but subscribe if you're willing in both of those locations, because we do weekly content, specifically mostly on YouTube now, just the podcast, but we're looking into doing some Let's Plays.
There will be more content on YouTube.
And specifically highlight videos of our Twitch streams that essentially advertise our Twitch streams. But please follow and subscribe there if you're willing. We'd love to hang out with you guys on stream or in the YouTube comments below and get to know you a bit more, because we love that you're listening, but we'd also like to know who you are.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Also, join us on any of our social media outlets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Discord at It's Obvious Gaming. And hang out with us there, especially on Discord, where we talk about all sorts of things all week long and stay connected and just hang out. It's a great time.
Yeah.
So please join us there. But without further ado, Jacob, we will jump into the news. I don't think I've forgotten anything as far as the intro is concerned.
Just if you're bored, you know, you're sitting on the toilet or you just have some free time.
It's always
time.
The toilet. If you're taking a dump.
Please consider leaving us a review on iTunes, or I don't know if there's reviews on Google Play. I assume there is.
There probably is, but iTunes is the big one.
Yeah.
So if you're on iTunes, I think it's specifically called Apple Podcasts now.
Yeah.
If you're on that app, take 2 to 5 minutes, maybe not even that long, to hop on over there and give us a quick rating and review.
Yeah, we would super appreciate it.
And also, if you're willing to subscribe in there, now you never have to even listen on iTunes if you don't want, but even
that's
those,
what I do. I subscribe to us, so I don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can turn off to where it downloads automatically, so it'll just be out there and it'll never fill up your phone or anything. So if you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps us grow exponentially over time, and it can eventually, Lord willing, open the doors to us hitting the new and noteworthy page. At this point, we joke that we'll be old and noteworthy because we've been around for almost 4 years.
Old and unimportant.
Exactly. But that's our ultimate goal with iTunes, because it really could open a whole new realm of listeners, and we'd love to grow It's Obvious Gaming to a point where we can commit more time to it, because right now it's very much a side project, and we'd love for it to be a full-time gig. I know everyone on the internet that has a project like this wants to do that, and we hope it works out for everyone in that sense. But if you're willing to support our content
endeavor,
yeah, we'll call it an endeavor instead. If you want to support this journey we're on, we'd greatly appreciate it. Without further ado, Jacob, let's talk about news.
Let's do it.
The Halo TV show is apparently happening. Finally. With Showtime. I'm going to read a little blurb here from Brian Bishop from The Verge to bring us up to speed. He says, and I quote, "Showtime is giving the franchise the prestige pay cable treatment, greenlighting a new TV series based on the game. Network president and CEO David Nevins is calling it, quote, our most ambitious series ever. The network has ordered a 10-episode first season for Halo." I had to catch my breath. "With Awake creator Kyle Killen serving as a showrunner. Filmmaker Rupert Wyatt, who worked on Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the recent Exorcist TV series, is scheduled to direct several episodes of the series, which is expected to begin production in early 2019. Plot details are thin, with the press release simply stating that the show will be, quote, dramatizing an epic 26th century conflict between humanity and an alien threat known as the Covenant. So that's basically the log line of the whole franchise.
Yeah.
But so now that we know it's officially happening, we have every right to get excited about it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can manage our hype. Now, I will say Showtime has produced some great stuff in the past. Nothing I can say off the top of my head. I can't remember of a Showtime or Stars that did Penny Dreadful, but I was a big fan of Penny Dreadful while that lasted. So
let me look them up real quick.
Yeah.
Best Showtime shows.
Yeah, let's take a look at that, because I think Penny Dreadful may have been either. Stars, if I'm not mistaken.
They're one of those like subscription TV channels, right? Like HBO, Stars, Showtime.
Yeah.
They've done Homeland, Shameless, Dexter was on there.
Okay, those are big ones.
Twin Peaks.
That's
Penny Dreadful,
one.
You're right.
Cool.
Weeds was on there.
Okay, so now I can say I know for a fact that Showtime only produces quality, for the most part, quality content.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes in this. I know there's a lot of good talent involved. So let's speculate on our biggest hopes and dreams. I know I've done this in the past. I'm like, if I saw a Halo movie or TV show, this is what I'd want to see. So I'm going to sort of reiterate that for people that have either not heard that or would like to hear it for the 20th time.
You're going to be much better at this than I am, because I don't know what I want from Halo.
I would like to see a story that takes place in between Halo 1 and 2. And I want Master Chief to be mentioned, but I only want to see him, if anything, in a glimpse on the battlefield. I'm talking like for a frame, that.
He's very risky to put a TV show around.
I think it's unnecessary. Oh, yeah. Of course, they could cast the voice of Master Chief and have anyone get in the costume. Sure, that'd be fine. But we have enough Master Chief in 5 games now. About to be six. About to be six, presumably. I mean, he's in that Infinite tech demo trailer. We'll see, but we have enough Master Chief. He's also in many series and books. There's enough Master Chief out there. I want to see, in a way, I know this sounds a little generic. I mean, there's better ideas, I'm sure. This is just my very on paper initial idea.
I want the best idea of all time from you right now.
I don't know if I can do it right now. I think my idea leading up to the series, as more details leak, my ideas will evolve a bit of what I'd like to see. But I think it'd be cool if we had not even a Spartan squad, either a Marine squad or an ODST squad that is obviously focused on in the heat of the Covenant and human conflict in between Halo 1 and 2,
okay,
where they obviously go from, I think it'd be cool if it was just based around a singular mission too. So let's say it's a rescue mission, almost like Saving Private Ryan in a way, where it's a singular squad that goes through like new Mombasa or something on Earth or some other alien planet, for example, or on a Halo ring would be the best thing, especially visually. Just a Halo ring is so striking. Yeah. So I think that'd be the best, to be on a Halo ring where it's a rescue mission where either a soldier or a high value target is there and they have to rescue them, and they go through all these different adventures. Of course, there's like warthog sequences and scorpion sequences, and there's like banshees and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just go through these epic battles, maybe some more stealthy, especially if it's an ODST squad, there can be some stealthy missions and stuff. And of course, it's not all about the action. I really want characters that are, you know, and everyone wants this. I'm not coming up with any new ideas here, but nuanced characters that are really well developed where you genuinely care about them by the end.
Yeah.
Even some that have serious conflicts that maybe evolve over time.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
And it's just a little sidetrack. I am really interested to see what they do with the Covenant. That's what they're called, right? Because
I imagine they're probably going to be all mostly visual effects.
Yeah.
Because you can't really make them practical and then look as great, especially with the way their mouths move and stuff. I mean, granted, Predator is mostly practical and he looks pretty good, but his mouth does is just open up. It doesn't typically move a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can get away with doing Predator live, but their mouths are very similar to Predator in that sense.
Isn't there a new Predator movie coming out?
There is, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Trailers look okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think visually it looks really cool, but plot-wise, I think it looks kind of stupid. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. But I always enjoy Predator movies. Even Predator is the one with Adrian Brody, I thought was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I thought that plot was the coolest idea, where the humans just crash land or parachute down on this planet and they have no idea how they got there, and they're all like the world's best mercenaries, and it's the Predator just toying with them to see who will be the last one standing.
Yeah,
that was a super cool idea. I really like that movie.
Yeah, I liked that movie. But let's get back on track.
Yes. So they'll probably be, I imagine, visual effects, but of course you'll have some brutes in there, hopefully, and some grunts and all the different Covenant forces.
Fucking grunts. So stupid.
That can be the comedic element. You have to have a comedic element on the supposed squad as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd love for them to, of course, I think it'd be cool if Master Chief, you know, is on the Halo ring, but he's in an entirely different part of the Halo ring, and they just hear legends about him, myths about him. And if anything, they see a singular glimpse of Master Chief in a battle from afar or something.
What if, like, they're in trouble, like, on one of the last episodes, and he, like, saves them?
I think it'd be cool if the only time you see him, if one of them's down in, like, this crevice.
Like, you don't even see his full body. You just see, like, maybe what they did in the Infinite trailer. You just see, like, his leg and his helmet or something, or, you know.
I think it'd be awesome if Master Chief has some kick-ass one-liner where he's like, this ODST squad member's on the ground, and he takes out like 10 Covenant around him, and he just helps them up and says something cool and just darts off to somewhere else.
Yeah, what if they're like in trouble? Then like he's like, I'll take it from here. Then they all just run away. They try to get out of there.
I wouldn't want to see him bail, but I'd like to see
him. No, like they bail and Master Chief takes over. Like, we don't see how he takes care of the enemies, but...
Right, you just see like a shot of him like approaching like a ton of them.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I want Master Chief to be treated in a way where he's a big myth.
Yeah.
Where you hardly see him. So I think that's because I said, I think we've had enough Master Chief. I don't hate the character. I love Master Chief, but I think it'd be cool to focus on just the other aspects of the Halo universe that are out there, because there's so much room to explore, especially that have been done in a lot of the books and comics.
Sure.
So I'd like to see them do that in the TV show.
I'd like that too, Garrett.
That's personally how I feel. Perhaps a rescue mission on a Halo ring, ODST or Marine squad, glimpses of Master Chief. I'll be happy. 10 episodes, I think that's solid. I think any more than 10 episodes is totally excessive. So if you can tell a story in a miniseries or a season between 8 and 10 episodes, I think that's perfect.
I don't know, dude. The Arrow, the
23
CW
episodes.
Show,
yeah,
they do a pretty good job with that many.
Yeah, that's why I stopped watching, man. It's grueling to get through a season.
I never finished the last season. I just stopped watching.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh well.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly because my cable box in my room stopped working.
Okay.
So I just don't watch TV anymore.
Sucks. I'm super excited about that. I have high hopes, and I'd love for other Halo fans in our community to kind of pitch your ideas as well. Maybe you'd be like, you're an idiot, this is why my idea is better. I'd love for you to tell me that.
Let's hear it.
So of course other ideas will kind of sprout up out of my noggin regarding this TV series as time goes on. But
if it comes back up, you should definitely enlighten me on new
ideas. Production's beginning in early 2019, I imagine this will air probably 2020, early 2020, if I had to guess. If they're considering it their most ambitious series ever and all the visual effects I imagine it's going to take. Because think about this. This could essentially be the Game of Thrones of Showtime, but it's obviously a future setting. Not really, obviously, with all the different factions and stuff. You know what I mean? That quality of production. So hopefully they invest their chips into a singular season, and hopefully it literally pays off for them so they continue it down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Halo fans have been waiting for. At least in this medium, this is what I've been waiting for as far as, aside from video games. Yeah, and
I mean, we got a little
stuff.
Mini TV series before.
We have, and it was more like a web series. It was okay.
Was it on TV?
No. Okay. It was just a little web series. I mean, I've never
enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was fine for what it is. I've never been blown away by any of that stuff. But hopefully this will be what takes Halo to the next level as far as escaping just video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Mario Tennis Aces is receiving new characters, Jacob.
Already.
I know we talked about this on stream. We'd like to see some Zelda action. Not really Zelda, but Link specifically. Mm-hmm. I mean, Zelda would be fine too, I guess.
I don't think we're getting Zelda or Link yet, though.
We are not. No. We're getting Diddy Kong, ooh, Koopa, Paratrooper, and Birdo.
I'm really excited about Diddy Kong.
Me too. I think
he seems like a great tennis player.
Especially if he and Donkey Kong play together.
Oh, yeah.
So
that'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Speaking of Donkey Kong, I like using Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah?
But my favorite is Bowser, dude. Bowser has a sick backhand. It's really powerful.
He's brutal, man.
Holy
he's
crap.
Hard.
Yeah, I love him.
That's the thing. My eyes can't keep up with the ball half the time, and his shots are almost impossible for me to block every time.
I love the powerful characters.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. I'm more of the speedy ones. I really dig Yoshi, but... Yeah. Yeah, Bowser's tough.
Dude, Evan was using Boo the other night. And dude, he was getting me with those trick shots.
Yeah,
it's
visceral. I'm surprised they haven't nerfed him a bit. I mean, it is very difficult to block those shots.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, Google's supposedly starting a streaming service and launching a console at some point.
Wow.
Now, these are just rumors, and this news comes courtesy of Isaac Monteros. I'm not going to read all this because it is excessively lengthy. But it boils down to their streaming service... apparently being able to run games at their highest quality on stream, which I can't imagine the bandwidth you would need for that and just the power of whatever service it is.
So Google owns YouTube, right?
Correct.
So why don't they just
double down on YouTube streaming? Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe they're going to evolve YouTube streaming into like a new thing.
Yeah. I'm confused here.
There aren't a whole lot of details. It's still very much in the air. But there are apparently a lot of sources are pointing to their streaming service and it being incredibly quote unquote powerful, being able to run games beautifully on the service.
I believe it.
So
Google has all the money in the world.
Yeah. Lastly, the last little paragraph about their console says, however, there wasn't much to say about the rumored console in the report. It isn't known whether or not the console will be competing with the Xbox or PlayStation in terms of graphical power, or will be using Yeti as a way for its owners to play current gen or next gen games. Apparently Yeti is the code name for the streaming service they're cooking up. So just another streaming service out there. One of the big ones now, Twitch. Mixer's still small, but it's pretty hot topic right now. People are talking about YouTube gaming.
And also Facebook Live is really starting to, a lot of people are starting to use Facebook Live. It's not necessarily gaming based. Mm-hmm. It can be anything, but people have been transitioning to Facebook Live to do live streams for gaming. And they've seen a lot of success actually.
That's the thing, we're really focused heavily on Twitch, but you and I have discussed putting ourselves out there on, say, Mixer or even dabbling with Facebook just to see how it goes.
We might experiment.
Yeah.
There might be some weird things with affiliate status that we can't necessarily
That's what we're trying to figure out.
To the extent we want to. We'll have to figure it out.
So, but we're open to putting ourselves out there in other outlets to see how it goes.
Yeah.
So, a lot of options.
I think there might be some loopholes, so we'll explore those.
This one's kind of interesting. I know we don't often talk about Xbox. I feel like it deserves some attention.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. I mean, there's only so much you can say about a footstool.
I know.
The Xbox One has apparently platform-wide mod support coming.
Wow.
This comes from Anthony Backus of Ka Connected. It says, according to a Windows Central, Microsoft is planning to release tools that will allow developers to support community-created mods, including maps, items, skins, and so on, to their games. It's supposed to be called, quote, Xbox community content. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, Jacob? Yeah.
When they say their games, they mean like Xbox games?
I think specifically Xbox games. It says, and it won't be much different to Valve's own Steam Workshop on PC. Microsoft is expecting to set up much of the infrastructure for community-created content, which will appear in a new section in the Xbox One digital store. The presentation reveals that the platform will launch, quote, later this summer. The Xbox community content platform is designed in such a way to help developers support user-generated content within their own games. Developers will be able to define what the parts of their game can be modded, how the content can be used in-game, and even decide whether the mod should be paid or free. An example could be a developer only allowing skins or texture packs, or deciding to include modifications to weapons and maps, or even full quests or campaigns. This could be interesting with specific developers that choose to make this an option with their game, because I think it thrives in, say, Fallout and specifically Bethesda RPGs, where people just go wild with mods. Even in GTA, to an extent, some of the crazy stuff people do. You can really create new modes, new ways of play, new ways of seeing the game. I mean, even the goofy ones I like, where, like, oh, you run around with a bubble gun, or you can run around as Thanos in GTA. Like, that stuff's funny, but I really like to see when people improve an aspect of the game or add an aspect of the game that really fits it well, like a racing mode or some type of game type or map they've created. I think that's really when user-generated content is awesome. So yeah, I think this could really be something special for Xbox going forward.
Yeah, I've never been super keen on mods in general. It's just not really something that I heavily invest into. I don't know if it's... If, I don't know if it's like the purest in me. I like to play things as they were made in a way, but it's just never really been my thing. But I think this could be potentially pretty exciting for Xbox gamers.
Absolutely.
And you would think that it would go on PC as well, for Xbox games on PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, well, maybe
one day I'll fool around with that stuff.
Maybe. Yeah. I've dabbled in mods very briefly in the past.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and make mods, but I'll use them if they really intrigue me.
Yeah, I talked about when I hopped into Fallout 4 on PC, I added shrubbery to the world. It's much more green.
Yeah.
I have over 10 million caps. I think it's 30 million caps to be exact.
See, I think I would really enjoy that with Fallout 4, making it a little more green. Because, you know, it's a wasteland, Fallout, the world.
I mean, Fallout 4 is significantly more... I mean, obviously there's a green hue over Fallout 3, but it's mostly the world itself is pretty gray, whereas Fallout 4 is definitely more colorful.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there it is lacking a bit of green. So there's like flowers and trees and green grass everywhere. It's kind of weird to see it like that, but at the same time, it's kind of cool.
That's why I think Fallout 76 is going to be cool, because the world is a little more alive.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm very excited for that as well. I still need to check out the NoClip documentary about it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. You should watch it.
Cool. Well, speaking of new things, Jacob, Amy Hennig has begun an independent studio.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah, me neither, after the crap she's been through. But this news comes courtesy of Andrew Gilbert of COD Connected. Amy, this is a quote actually directly from Amy Hennig. She says, quote, "I'm working independently and staying independent. I just started my own small little independent studio, and I'm consulting with some people. I'm hoping to bring some people on board, and I would love to have a little company of about 6 to 8 people, 15 at most, and do some more projects, do some VR stuff, consulting with some VR companies, and doing a ton of research because I haven't played a lot to immerse myself in it." Andrew chimes in and says, in regards to the Star Wars game she was a creative director of, she stated that the project has taken quite a different turn from her time with it, but hopes to see the idea her team was working on be resurrected in some way. And then she goes on to say, so yeah, I'm not doing anything Star Wars, and who knows what the future may hold, but that project is on the shelf now. The Vancouver studio is working on something pretty different. It's really not, you know, once you go more open world, it's such a different game to the one we were making. Everybody loved what we were doing, and I'd love to see us resurrect that somehow, but it's complicated. So we'll probably never see Ragtag. Nope. Which is kind of a bummer, even though some of the reports that came out said it was in a rough state, despite of it being canceled and everything. I loved the idea. So hopefully we'll get a Star Wars game that's single player focused, sort of what they were working on at some point.
I am looking forward to what she creates, though.
Me too.
Hopefully something she makes will come out.
Yeah, she is undeniably a very talented creative director. I haven't played many of her games aside from Uncharted 3.
Yeah, that's solid.
But obviously she had a few of her fingerprints on Uncharted 4 as far as the initial concepts are concerned. So I'm excited to see what she does next. That's cool. And I'm glad at least she's doing something in video games still.
It always sucks. Like, oh man, you had one game, you know, you got put off one project. Now you're making this ambitious Star Wars project, and then that falls through.
Yeah, I can't imagine how
just can't catch a break.
Devastating that is, especially when you've invested years of your life into producing something.
I mean, of course, we don't know all the details. Like, maybe she was the problem. You never know.
That's not what I heard from anyone. Yeah. But everyone's afraid of
her. I'm sure there's factors we will never know. So.
She's like the godfather of the gaming industry. Yeah, everyone's just afraid to cross her.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jacob, that is all the news for this week, unless there's anything else you want to...
We blew through that.
Yeah, we did. Is there anything else you want to add to the news this week?
The only thing I really wanted to add was just talking about Wrecking Ball from Overwatch.
Right, right.
I don't think there was a whole lot of news besides what we covered this week.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah, that's the thing. The weeks following E3, there really isn't a whole lot going on, but... thankfully, we have incredible games coming this fall.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
The next one being Octopath, I believe.
Octopath, we'll probably talk about that.
I don't think it's this week, but the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think the next really big one is Spider-Man after that. Isn't there something coming in August?
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2 expansion. What am I forgetting? Is there something coming in August?
Is Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider's another one. We'll talk about Tomb Raider.
That's September.
Yeah. I think Tomb Raider's the week before Spider-Man. Bless Eidos Montreal.
Oh, Battle for Azeroth. WoW expansion is August.
Okay.
I'm so excited, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear from you on that, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Dude, I'm so pumped for it.
I know some OGs out there still play WoW as well,
yeah,
don't they?
Bojangles from the community started it this week.
Started
it last weekend because there was a free weekend on WoW.
Cool.
Where you didn't have to pay your sub. Your subscription
that's awesome.
Fee. But yeah, he has like a whole group of friends that are really enjoying it. So it's been fun to talk with him on stream about, you know, how he's enjoying it.
Are you going to stream some of that when it happens?
Oh, yeah.
You should.
We'll be streaming that all week.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know if how viewer attention is going to be because it's WoW. It's an old-ass game. No one really likes watching WoW, but that's what I want to play. So
you can count on me being there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever imagine yourself playing WoW back in the day and thinking years in the future you'd be streaming it online?
No.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
I also think about...
I didn't think I'd ever be streaming anything.
You ever just stop when you're doing something and think about where you are in your life? And like, it's crazy to think that here in this very moment, everything in my life has led up to this singular point.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be anything significant. Like last night I was walking, I guess it's sort of mine and Casey's dog now. But our dog,
she's
Peachy,
so cute.
She's adorable. She's an amazing dog. And I was walking her in this dark street in Atlanta where I was these... massive trees were hanging over me, and just something about the light and the way the sidewalk looked in between these trees, it just looked really cool and kind of eerie.
Yeah.
And this is so random, but I was standing there while she was just sniffing the grass, and I'm like, every single experience in my life, everything I've done, said, or all that crap has all led me to standing right here in this moment.
And just one thing that happened differently could have changed all that.
I know, it's just weird when you stop and just think like that every now and then. Like, it's just kind of strange when you think about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, you can't look back too hard and regret things.
No, I mean, it's not
dangerous.
Like, it's not like
I'm saying you were. I'm just saying that's dangerous territory.
Right. I wasn't even really thinking about my past or my future. I was just thinking about that very moment. I'm like, everything has led to here. Yeah.
That's the kind of shit you think about when you're going to sleep at night. You're
like, why? It's just because it was so quiet. I mean, this is the funny thing, too. It's just I see the weirdest people on that street. I like this one drunk. Well, I thought it was a lady. This man in heels and a wig and a dress. Was shuffling, and he was shrouded in darkness in the street because there's very few streetlights. So I see this individual shuffling like a zombie out of The Walking Dead.
Oh, God, it's
coming
happening.
Towards me and Peachy, and Peachy's like growling at him. And I'm standing there, and he finally comes into the light, and I realize it's a man in a wig and a dress. And he's walking by like a zombie. I guess he's drunk. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Doesn't even look at me, just keeps shuffling like a zombie right past us. I'm like, that was weird. And last night, there was another guy who was, I don't think he's an actual war veteran, but he had this like this costume that looked like a general's uniform. Just, again, like a zombie shuffling down the street.
Is it like some Halloween party you missed?
I don't think so.
You missed the memo?
It was really bizarre. And he walked past me and like, hey, good evening. And he's like, yo. kept walking. I'm like, that was weird.
It's like a reaction from a video game character. Like, oh.
And that's pretty much what it was. Something like out of a Zelda title.
Yeah.
But it's a weird street, man. But those are some of my experiences when I thought last night walking.
I've been
the dog.
Down that street. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So a lot of characters in Atlanta. And most city folk are traditionally characters.
You got to be living that place.
Really. Anyway, Jacob, let's jump into community questions.
Yes, let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for sending us questions week in and week out to supply us a fun, diverse conversation at the end of every single episode on this podcast and Ask IOG, which I just realized we totally forgot about this week. We are such idiots, Jacob. How did we forget that?
I don't
think
we forgot about it. We just didn't have time for it.
Think about it. We would have had to sacrifice a Twitch stream to do it.
Yeah.
This is something we'd have to do during the day on a day. Which you were never available in the days because I work every weekend. We'd have to do it on, let's say we do this podcast on Sundays mostly. We'd have to do Ask IOG on a Saturday.
Yep. Or we have to do it right after our podcast.
Yeah. Which I'm open to because I'm all about the grind. I don't mind grinding.
If it wasn't too long, I could do it.
Yeah, so we need to figure that out. We've been saying that for too long. We've been putting off that show.
Yep.
But Ask IOG exists. We have a plethora of questions to get to on there. We look forward to them. Some of them are ancient, but they're still relevant because they were timeless questions. So that's great. Anyway, If you want to reach us to have your questions read on this show or ask IOG, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming, or you can submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. Now, all of the information, all of those places is found in every description of every single YouTube video, every Spotify playlist, every iTunes playlist. I think it's on Google Play as well. Anywhere you listen to this podcast, all that information is linked below in the descriptions. So you can access any of it there. And we encourage you to do so.
That's really nice of you to link all that stuff for all the good people.
Of course, I want it to be convenient. But without further ado, let's jump into number one. It comes from Bear Commando.
Ooh.
Bear Commando says, "Hey guys, I'd like to hear if any of you three have experience with a Steam Link or other home streaming setups that bring PC games onto your TV. The 95% off sale for the Steam Summer Sale made me start thinking about the idea and how there seems to be a bigger push as of late to create this capability. Valve recently announced they are showing interest in streaming and stream games to iPhone or Android as well. Any thoughts or experiences with this idea?"
I do not have any experience with the Steam Link.
Neither do I.
I think Preston might, and it's unfortunate that he's not here.
Yeah.
Or he might have some thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think Preston has tried it once, hasn't he?
I have no idea.
I can't remember. I haven't tried it myself. I'm aware of it.
He just knows more stuff about these kind of things than we do.
I feel bad that we're totally dropping the ball on your question, yeah. Bear.
Sorry, Bear Commando.
But
it's a good question, though.
Yeah, maybe we'll have Preston chime in on Discord later this week or next week or something. But we're aware of it. We just haven't tried it ourselves. But I think it's a unique idea for sure. It's cool. Mm-hmm. Next one comes from Scene One. Scene One says, "Hi, guys. I know you have a huge interest in video games, and so do I, but I was wondering if you have any interest in any of those nerdy card/board games, because I certainly do. I'm really into Magic the Gathering. If you are, that's cool. If you're not, it would be cool to see you try as a YouTube video. Thanks, guys, and have a wonderful day." I'm not into Magic the Gathering, not because I don't like it. It's just I've never played it or really taken the time to understand it.
Yeah.
Now, we have our best friend's brother-in-law. That's so random. But one of our best friend's brother-in-law is really into Magic the Gathering, and he raves about it. So I know someone who's really into
it. Who's
this? Isaac.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So I know of it, and I've seen the hype surrounding the card game, but I've not played it myself. I'm an avid Yu-Gi-Oh card player still to this day.
Yeah.
I play competitively.
Oh, yeah?
No. I mean, I told the story, Preston and I used to Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel back in the day, and he has openly admitted, and deep down I knew he was doing this, but he would cheat every single time. Because I didn't,
son of a bitch.
I didn't fully understand it, but even when I played cards that were better than his cards, he would know. And he
I don't think I ever knew how to play Yu-Gi-Oh!
He would make up some rule and say, "Oh, no, I still beat you because of this reason."
I think I kind of just tried to mimic the show when I played. And
that's what I was doing, essentially. So, and then he got that wrist blade thing that shoots out and used that piece of crap.
I used to want one of those so bad.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember that thing.
That was the toy to get when you were a Yu-Gi-Oh card player.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, like most kids grew up in the 90s and early 2000s, I collected Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah, I collected tons of Pokemon cards. Yeah. I don't know if I still have them. I think my mom might have sold them.
That's the thing that sucks. I think my mom did the same with mine because I used to have a giant binder full of them all and
I wish
all
I still
laminated
had them,
and everything.
Oh, yeah. I would put that on a bookshelf today.
Yeah.
I had that.
I was super passionate about Pokemon cards. And even when I'm in stores like Target or Walmart and I see little booster packs, I still kind of get that twinge of excitement.
Yeah.
Because I love getting those cards.
What would I get if I got one?
I remember I got a Charizard in a booster pack once. And then with Yu-Gi-Oh! I got I can't remember what it was.
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
I mean, I had that one, of course, the holographic
Dark Magician.
Maybe. It was one of those.
Exodia.
I had
Obliterate.
I got to a point where I had all the main ones. But I loved collecting that stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't play any card games currently, though.
I mean, the last card game I played was Hearthstone.
Yeah, I dabbled in that as well.
But let me think.
Hearthstone's great. I love Hearthstone.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad at it, but it's fun.
You mentioned board games, I think. I love playing board games
Monopoly?
With people. I love Monopoly, dude. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a lot of time or a lot of people that around me that like to do that kind of stuff.
I think that'd be a fun stream. This is random, but I know it's not video game related, but to play a video game related board game on stream.
Yeah.
And just have drinks and hang out with the chat the whole time.
Yeah,
that'd
be awesome.
Kind of fun. We should totally do that.
Yeah. I had drinks on Saturday stream.
Isn't there a Fallout version of Monopoly? Something like that?
There's a Fallout, or there's a version of everything for Monopoly.
Yeah, we should look into that and totally do a stream like that one night.
There's a World of Warcraft Monopoly.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's a Fallout one.
Yeah, we should do something like that. random memory I have with Monopoly. The last time I played was with our buddies John and Zach. And
you guys played Monopoly?
This is years ago. I think we were seniors in high school when we played. We were playing in his room, and it was like 2 a.m, and Zach was not paying attention to his stack at all of money. And every now and then, I'm not trying to be sleazy. I was trying to be funny about it. Just, I wanted to see if he would ever catch me. I was just doing it for fun. I was stealing hundreds of dollars for him over a period of 2 hours, to a point where he was so broke that he was confused as to how he got. He's like, I haven't bought that much. How'd I get so broke? And we're like, I don't know, man. And he never thought to question us. I was just constantly stealing money from
him. Did John know about it?
I don't think John ever noticed either, because I was so nonchalant about it. I would always take it when we were either laughing about something or deep in conversation.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. I stole probably over $1,000 from him. I didn't win. John beat both of us, but Zach lost instantly.
Wait a minute. Where's my wallet?
What are you looking for?
My wallet. So you don't take my money.
Right.
Thief.
Yeah. Why do you think I love Thief the video game so much, man?
I'm a natural bitch. Thief. I mean, in the game.
Yeah, I am. So just, it's all natural, man.
That we've been joking about on stream, playing Thief.
Yeah.
It'd be such a boring stream.
It would. I mean, it's the greatest game ever made, but I mean, I think it's because it's so admirable and it's so excellent that it's almost boring because of that. Because nothing compares to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be tough. I think it'd be great to do a video analysis on Thief and why it's the greatest game ever made.
I agree.
That's what,
like a little diary.
Because you and I talked about, well, what if we did some written content for the channel? And I was like, oh, maybe it's very time consuming.
We really should do that.
If I was gonna do anything, it would be Thief for sure.
It should
sure.
be like a super serious, like Thief why analysis. Thief is so good. We could have like really, like we can get emotional about it too, how it changed our lives.
That could be gold.
Yeah.
Sure. I know we've talked about doing stuff.
We should brainstorm more ideas about that.
This is why we want the channel to grow so much more, because it would provide us opportunities to really invest in stuff like that. It's just so hard right now, but you know, you guys know. We've been talking about it forever.
You guys know.
Board games. I've always loved, and this isn't a board game, but I've always loved Uno Attack. Uno Attack's a great game. Apples Uno's to Apples. What's that?
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah,
really
that's
fun.
A great one. I think that's mostly the game. I mean, Candyland. Most generic game ever, but played Candyland.
I always liked the game of Life and Clue.
Life's fun. Clue's fun. Have you ever played Sorry before?
Yep.
Sorry's kind of cool.
Sorry's fun.
Man.
Let's move on.
Wow, Jacob, fine.
I'm done talking about these cardboard games.
Okay. But Scene One, yeah, we do dabble in card games and board games from time to time. Not Magic the Gathering, but perhaps we'll stream something like that in the near future. It'd be cool. Weather the Wolf, or just Weather Wolf says.
Weather the Wolf.
Have you guys ever thought of streaming your podcast recording on Twitch? And we have answered this a few times, but now that we're really into Twitch, we'll talk about it again. We have talked about that. We have a good reason for not doing that. What was the reason again?
I don't remember, Gary.
It was, Preston made a really solid point. I'm like, you're totally right. I think it's because we're very racist and sexist, typically, and we have to edit out all of our terrible bits.
Yeah, little do you guys know we have like 50 edits of us saying really bad shit.
Horribly racist and sexist things at all times. But no, that's not the reason why. I can't remember. Preston made a good point about something. I can't remember what it was.
I mean, it would probably be a good idea if we did do it. It would be quite a transition, and we'd have to get to a point where we can always do it at the same time every week to have consistency.
It's definitely possible. We have the means to do it, but doing it consistently is one thing. And I'll have to have Preston remind me what his other point was. It's not going to totally prevent us from ever doing it. There will come a time. I think Ask IRG is prime for doing it live. I think that show would be better live. And one, because we're answering questions people have submitted for Ask IRG, but also just live questions in the Twitch chat could be awesome.
We should. That's actually a good idea. We should consider maybe making one of our night streams and Ask IRG.
Dude, that is
that we could both
brilliant.
Be a part of every
That
week.
Is brilliant. Because imagine if our Thursday night stream was always Ask IRG, because we could record it then, and then it also goes live on YouTube and iTunes and all that the following morning on Friday for just everyone else who couldn't tune in.
Yeah.
That should be how Ask IRG evolves.
And then,
even if it's just you and me, or whenever Preston can tune in, he can tune in with us, because he could always hop in on Discord chat when we do that.
How would we... Would we be able to do it from our own houses?
Yes.
How would we get...
No, I think the appeal would for us to be in person, sitting like this.
I'm trying to figure out, like, how do you get multiple... I don't know how Preston did this for our E3 coverage, but how do you get multiple
That was Google Hangout.
Okay.
We could do it like Google Hangout if we wanted to.
Can you do that with your Skype? Can you have multiple face cams?
I haven't tried it with Skype. I think there's like a business version of Skype that allows that.
Okay.
But I know Google Hangout's typically the platform to do with the multiple face cams like that.
We should do some research on that this week.
We should, but I think that is the ultimate way to evolve Ask IOG. And Preston, hopefully, if his new job situation works out, his evenings will be open far more often. And I think that would totally warrant another reason for us to do that live.
Yeah.
That everyone keep their hopes up.
Who asked
that
question?
Everyone encourage that too. If you want to see Ask IOG be a live show on Thursday nights where we're all together and we can not only read questions you've submitted, but also read questions live that you're submitting in the chat actively with us.
Yeah. Weatherwolf, congratulations on inspiring us to come up with a new idea.
Yeah. You may have, obviously we've had that question a lot, but now that we're really into the Twitch streaming, I think that's the perfect way to take Ask IOG to the next level.
Could be, yeah.
We'll see.
We'll talk more about it.
Yeah. Please let us know in the comments below on YouTube or on Discord if you'd like to see that. Kyle Hart writes in and says, so I've been an Xbox fan ever since I played a demo of the original Halo on the original Xbox in the mall. Wow. I've had good times and met friends, but up until the Xbox One, I've noticed things have taken a turn for the worst, you might say.
Wow.
My Xbox friends have come and gone, just like my interest in Xbox in general. There is a sliver of hope I cling to, yet it is safe to let go. But is it safe to let go and grab on to a new lifeline? And in parentheses, he says, Sony? Question mark. I love the idea of the new Xbox One X being a PC gamer. 4K Blu-ray and a graphics unit equivalent to a GTX 1060. Hell yeah! However...
Is that you or him?
That was him. Oh. Hell yeah! However, I am here... Here I am with honest a thought... Sorry. Here I am, honest thoughts about the future of Microsoft's Xbox. Me currently Titanic theme song, me holding on for dear life. Kyle, this is how I see Xbox. Most of the titles that I'm even interested in playing on Xbox are on Windows 10 as well. And that is what I consider to be my primary platform for gaming now. Of course, I will play every Sony exclusive that's good, and most of them are good, thankfully, including Spider-Man, Days Gone, Last of Us Part 2, Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding, stuff like that, I will be playing on my PlayStation. But anything that's multi-platform, specifically on PC, I have every intention to play on PC. Same with Xbox. Sea of Thieves I played on PC. I'm about to play... I know Rise of the Tomb Raider eventually made its way to PS4, but you played that on PC as well.
I did.
So any Xbox exclusive that's on Windows 10, I will be playing there. So if you're a PC gamer, I'd say just leave Xbox in the dirt. No, don't leave it in the dirt. Stick it underneath your PC and use it as a footstool. That's what Jacob and I did.
What a great idea.
So don't throw it to the wind. Use it for your feet to stay cozy.
Yeah.
But this is funny, is that would actually be a decent footstool from where I'm sitting, because I kind of wanted a footstool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have something else. I'm like, why not use the machine that I actually call a footstool?
It'd be a good Instagram picture. I actually have the footstool as a footstool.
But I would say let go of Xbox. I know it's hard. I let go of Xbox when I transitioned to PS4 from 360.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
It's not because I hate Xbox or even dislike it for that matter. Sony's exclusives appeal to me more, but I still adore Halo and I still sort of like Gears of War. And that's what keeps me interested in Xbox. But if Gears lands on PC, which it is on PC, and if Halo Infinite lands on PC, which I'm more than certain it will, that's where I'll be playing. So I would say leave Xbox behind and by all means cling on to Sony, because I would hate, one, I already, my heart breaks for those that have not had a chance to experience specifically Bloodborne, Horizon, God of War.
The Last of Us.
No, The Last, I mean, that was on PS3 as well. Last of Us. I'll throw
PS4.
Ratchet and Clank in there. Ratchet and Clank. And going forward, of course, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, Last of Us Part 2. Hopefully, what do you call it? Death Stranding's good.
Horizon 2.
I'm going to be that asshole and say that Death Stranding is yet to impress me. Every time they show anything for that game, I'm not even impressed. I'm like,
I
get Hideo Kojima's hyped up and he's a cool guy and he's this legendary game developer, but Death Stranding has not appealed to me at all. It's interesting. I'm intrigued by whatever's happening, but I've yet to see anything where I'm like, whoa, this is the best game in the world. I don't think anyone actually thinks that, but there's so much hype with Kojima that I think we need to dial that back a bit. He's a cool dude, but I don't think he's shown me anything from Death Stranding that looks anywhere near the magnitude of, say, the Metal Gear franchise yet.
I can agree with that.
So we'll see.
So my
tell take, me I'm a douche in the comments if you must, but that's how I feel.
Oh, you are, just in general.
But I'm aware.
Kyle, I was in the same boat. few years ago. I bought a PS4, but I told myself I wanted to keep my home on the Xbox for whatever reason. Because that's where I was comfortable with. That's like I had built up this backlog of, or not backlog, this library and this, you know, just having your profile be...
Your gamer score.
Yeah, just like it was my place where I called home. But I realized that there was just nothing to play on that console. And PS4 was coming out with all these exclusives. And it really just pulled me away. And I think the same will happen to you. I will say, though, that Microsoft is making a huge... they're striving to bring in a lot of
first-party
content.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in the future, probably with the next Xbox, there's going to be a lot more opportunities.
But here's my question. Will those same first-party studios be developing games for Windows 10 and Xbox?
Most certainly, yeah.
So again...
If you have a PC, there's no reason to have an Xbox.
And again, you can use an Xbox controller with your PC. Yeah.
I mean...
Exact same experience.
And you can hook up a PC to a TV, you know?
You can.
So what's the point?
I know.
I mean, if you just want the simplicity of having something in your living room that you don't want to mess with a computer, I guess that's your reason to get an Xbox.
And again, I know we say the hashtag not fanboys thing, which I think is a hilarious joke, and we still say that. But Preston and I have openly said this. If PlayStation was also available on Windows 10, I would never touch my PlayStation again. I would play everything on the PC.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just saying that because we really enjoy Sony's exclusives. It's all about the way Microsoft, in a way, has shot themselves in the foot with having their games available on both platforms, most of them available on that platform.
I mean, they have Windows, though.
Exactly. I mean, I get
why
they're doing
hurting
it.
That much.
Yeah, they're not. I wouldn't say they're hurting, but that's why instead of playing on the actual console, I choose to play on PC.
Yeah.
So same thing applies to PlayStation. I don't want anyone to think that we're just openly crapping all over it just because PlayStation has undeniably better exclusives at the moment. So that's specifically why I would say, by all means, cling to Sony. I know your question's a little old. You may have clung to Sony by now. I apologize, but please do so if you haven't already experienced the games I've aforementioned.
Yeah, just get a cheap PS4, like the slim model.
Yeah, you don't even need a Pro.
The big fancy one.
I mean, the Pro's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I mean, running Horizon and that checkerboard at 4K was breathtaking.
Yeah, but like you were saying, I'd hate for someone to miss out on a lot of these fantastic narrative games.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's been a ton of great ones on PS4 this generation.
There has been. And more to come, which is fascinating.
I know.
So, Big Nasty writes in and says...
Big Nasty.
Big Nasty! He says, "All right, time to stop putting this off. Great podcast as always, especially since it concerns Spider-Man." Now, this was a couple weeks ago, Big Nasty, forgive me, but I'm pretty sure this one's still good to go. He says, "A figure that I am in love with just as much as I am with Halo. At the moment, I have a beastly PC and a normal Xbox One. Earlier this year, I was planning on getting a Switch during Black Friday sales because of the awesome games and portability. Now, I'm not so sure. With Game Informer covering Spider-Man, the character has been brought to my attention again, and holy shit, I want this game. Obviously, it's only on PS4, though. I can't justify to myself spending so much for just Spider-Man, though. Really aren't any games I can think of worth getting for PS4. I'm not down the weeb shit like Xenoblade."
And that's a Switch game.
Yeah, because he mentioned he almost got a Switch. "And Nier and whatever else. Don't really care for God of War. I'll probably just watch PewDiePie play Last of Us 2. The only other game I can think of I'd really want to play is Bloodborne. Otherwise, I'm lost. What should I do? Also, Detroit is eh for me."
Sounds like you've already made your decision. You should get a Switch.
If I were to get a PS4, it would be on Black Friday like I planned with the Switch.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing. You've already said that. Some of the games I even mentioned that you're not necessarily interested in.
Yeah. I mean, if worst comes to worst, you can watch Let's Plays of all these games. You can still experience them in a way. You're not playing them, but you can, you can still experience them through YouTube and whatnot.
Right. And that's the thing that even I will admit is that I have played Spider-Man, and it is, from what I experienced, it is so far everything I hoped it would be. And they're even tweaking it still prior to launch. So even I wouldn't say that's worth picking up a PS4 for. And I'm not saying to be underhyped for Spider-Man.
Like Preston.
Yeah. Now, if I were a fan, I knew I would have to, because I would have to experience this game for myself.
I mean, it's kind of hard for us to kind of judge, like, how big of a Spider-Man fan are you? Like, we can't really make that decision for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I have there's no doubt in my mind this will be the best Spider-Man game ever released. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there's no excuse for it not to be.
Yeah.
But again, to drop... At minimum, I think cheapest PS4 is like $250 right now. Is that correct?
I'm not sure, Garrett.
It's got to be somewhere around there.
Let me check.
Yeah, Jacob will look that up, but I wouldn't even, maybe Spider-Man's worth picking up a PS4 for, but I would hate to be like, yeah, it's totally worth it, and then it'd just be mediocre, but I'm confident it won't be. But I get your reasoning there. Anything other than Blood, because you're interested in Bloodborne. Bloodborne's outstanding.
It looks like it's 300 right now. Must have gone back up. 250 might have been a sale.
But even 300, I think, for a PS4 in the library of games, I think that is a worthy investment, for sure.
Yeah. Excuse me. I mean, going with the Switch, I'm trying to speak here. Do you mind?
Sorry.
The Switch is a great option too, though. I like, there's a lot of great games coming out on the Switch this fall, and there's already a pretty good catalog of games there already. I mean, if you like Nintendo IP, there's no reason not to get one.
I agree.
And it's cheaper than the other options for the most part. Well, I'll take that back. It's kind of 300. It's kind of on par. Yeah. And it's got the portability on top of that, so
it's a great piece of hardware.
Smash is coming out, like that should be enough for a lot of people, including me.
Is that a system seller for you?
Oh yeah.
Okay, because that question was presented in our COG Slack, and people were debating whether or not it was a console seller.
I think it's definitely one of the most popular Nintendo titles. I think there's only a few IPs that I think can be system sellers on Nintendo, and I think Smash is one of them.
We know Zelda and Odyssey were system sellers, so I'd assume Smash Bros. Is up there as
well. I
think
a new Pokemon would be, too, next year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, anyone who hasn't picked it. I mean, there's so many Pokemon fans out there that by the time that launches, if they haven't already picked up a Switch, I imagine by then they'll have every intention in doing so.
I mean, hell, even like the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee might be system sellers. I don't know.
Yeah,
it we'll could see. Be.
Yeah, people especially that love Pokemon Go and they want to double down on that experience. Yeah. Essentially a better version of Pokemon Go.
Yeah. I forgot to say this, but I picked up Pokemon Go again. Just while I'm out. Because I drive around a lot. So I'm parked somewhere, I'll pull it out.
I don't know why I'm not playing either, because I'm in Atlanta 24/7.
Yeah.
I'm catching Pokemon
prime
left and
time,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that too.
Two other generations since you've quit.
Wow.
It's a lot more to catch.
Man. Cool.
It's still just what it is. It's what it always has been. They've added a few more gameplay elements to kind of spice up your rewards and whatnot, but it's still Pokemon Go. So if that doesn't excite you, then it might not be worth trying it.
I enjoyed our time when we played at Universal Studios.
Yeah, that was fun.
I got a million. It's called Slowbro.
Slowpoke.
Slowpoke. Yeah. Slowbro.
Slowpoke, Slowbro, and then Slowking.
Yeah, I caught 1,000 of him. It.
Yeah, there were a lot there.
Flame Blast is going to close us out.
Excellent.
He says, what's your favorite alcohol to drink while playing video games?
Alcohol?
I think he means alcohol. Mm. It's okay, though.
While I play games?
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what the situation is, whiskey is always my go-to.
Whiskey. I like whiskey and bourbon specifically. I haven't had a good beer in a while. I love a good IPA. It's been a long time, but
yeah, beer's not my thing.
I don't have beer accessible at my house, so I typically drink bourbon or whiskey.
Yeah, you drink wine too, right?
I do. But I don't typically drink wine while I'm. Sometimes I drink wine while I'm gaming, but
we're talking about
when I want to feel nice and warm and tingly, I sip some wine. Typically, when I'm with my lady. Gotcha. Had some wine last night.
Is Casey a wine drinker?
She was until she had a bad experience with it just recently. And she says she's never going to drink it again. Okay. So
guess you're not either.
Guess not. But
good deal, good deal.
Yeah, beer and whiskey.
Yeah, just last night I was finishing off my bottle of Wild Turkey on stream. So
great stuff.
Good time.
How's the ad go again? He goes, we're not looking to be most popular. Not in a rush not to be.
Yep.
That's my Matthew McConaughey impression.
I love those commercials.
What's our favorite part of it again? He goes, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
What a great beverage.
What a great man.
Seriously.
I'd make love to that man.
I'd totally hook up with him if I could.
Oh, yeah.
You want to come back to my hotel room, sip some Wild Turkey bourbon, and maybe make some love?
Yes, Matthew, yes.
And be like, yes, sir, please.
Please.
All right, all right, all right. Drop your pants.
Dude, I love him in Wolf of Wall Street at the beginning. He's so funny.
He steals that scene.
I know.
Big time.
That's a great movie.
I love
that
movie.
That's one of the best movies that's come out in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think I saw it 3 times in theaters.
Yeah.
And even the runtime is like over 3 hours, and every second of it is enjoyable.
God, it's so good. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Are you going to watch it tonight?
I might, dude. Okay. I love that movie.
I have to leave in about 3 minutes.
Let's wrap it up then.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for tuning into the It's Obvious podcast, episode 159. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're willing to do so, share your thoughts on anything we've discussed, any games you're playing, any topics of discussion. If you're willing, hop on over to YouTube, even if it's just to say hello in the comments. We'd love for you to do so because it helps us track a bit better on YouTube. Of course, we've talked about Twitch being our primary focus at the moment, but we will still have YouTube content, of course. And if you haven't subscribed already, please do so on both Twitch and YouTube. If you're willing to support us, we greatly appreciate it. And comment below on here. And of course, any discussions we've had will, as always, continue on Discord. We look forward to hanging out with you guys this week there. And tune into our weekly Twitch streams on between the hours of 8 p.m. and midnight weekdays, Monday through Thursday and Saturdays, and morning streams with me typically between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern. Every morning this week, I intend to do it. So tune in there, especially if you're listening to the podcast this morning and it's around that time. By all means, come hang out. I'm there. We'd love to see you.
Thank you, Garrett.
But as always, as Jacob mentioned, if you're willing to take I know we're requesting so much of you right now. Please forgive me. But if you're willing to take
just your listen is enough for us.
It really is. At the end of the day, just the fact that you're listening is awesome. We appreciate it. But if you're willing to go that extra mile to hop on over to Apple Podcast and subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, it helps us grow exponentially more than you could ever imagine.
And we'll give you a shout out on the podcast.
We absolutely just rechecked this week.
Yeah, we have none again.
Okay, it's okay.
I'm sad.
We'll bounce back. I know some of you out there will be willing to do so at some point.
We've drilled it down their throats enough, or down their ears enough this week. Yeah. So maybe they'll do it.
Yeah. Regardless, thank you so much for tuning in. We look forward to hanging out with you guys this week on streams and in Discord. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure, honor, and privilege to do this every week. Let us know how you like the quality of this video. It's going to be tweaked over time. I kind of rushed it this week, so I'm in a bit of a hurry. But yeah, let us know all thoughts down below, and we'll catch you again soon.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
See ya.
And on the streams.
Yes, the streams.
8 p.m. Eastern. Good night.